But he reveals and discerns and judges men's thoughts, men's minds, men's hearts by the word going forth. The word of God, when spoken to people, when you speak to them the truth concerning God's word, it goes into their heart and searches and judges and divides and cuts and cleaves and makes things happen. And then they say, I hate it. Or they say, I love it. And thus, their hearts are revealed by the way they react to it. We all must be pierced through with that sword, that we may be tried, that we may be, that it can determine what kind of man are we? What kind of person are we? Are we someone fit for the kingdom? Has God chosen us? Are we going to be fitted for the kingdom? Or will we reject the kingdom, as so many have before? The sword must come through and pierce. It is not given unto everyone to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It is not given to everyone to be pleased with the character of Christ. And so, that's why so many times the word is perverted by men, because they want to make, everyone wants to get in on the kingdom of God. But they want to do it on their own terms. So they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They heap to them teachers who will speak to them smooth things, prophesy deceits, so that they can have a Christ that pleases them. But you know what? The Apostle Paul teaches in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 that we are to God a sweet savor in Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perished. God is pleased. We please God in the smell that comes up. It is a figure of speech that means that it's pleasant. Something smells sweet to God. In them that are saved and in them that perished. To the one, we are the savor of death to death. And to the other, the savor of life to life. And who is sufficient for these things? Who is competent? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. We speak in sincerity. We speak with transparency, with purity. Because there are others who would conceal the truth from people in order that they would not smell that smell of death. We are the savor of death. When I preach, the preaching of the gospel is to some death and to others life. And to God, both smell good to him. Because it's all according to his good pleasure and his good will. But to man, bad smell. Bad smell. They smell it and they're like, oh, the gospel, puke. And then men come along and say, okay, hold on, let me fix it. They get in there and they put their dirty little fingers on the gospel, pervert it, transform it into something that's pleasing to people. And then they say, here, try this on for size. Ah, well, this is much better. Tolerable. I will come to your church. I tell you, they're masking. And honestly, the sword has already pierced through and judged you. You cannot receive the truth. Because if you could, you would. You would have already. Instead of seeking for one who would speak smooth things instead of the right things. Speak things that are deceitful. Handle the word of God deceitfully, as do others. And they handle it deceitfully. So deceitfully. Verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, where 84 is 80, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise to the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. So here's this one, Anna, a prophetess of a tribe of Asher. Some people think that the Jews only include the tribe of Judah and Benjamin. But Jew, though it came from the title of the nation Judah, they became known as the Jews because it was the kingdom of Judah, and their northern kingdom was of Israel. But Judah actually included all the tribes. Because those who returned from the captivity from Israel and Judah became part of the kingdom of Judah, because the kingdom of Israel ended forever after the Assyrian invasion. And there never was a separate kingdom of Israel again. There was only the kingdom of Judah. So all the Israelites who returned would have been brought into Judah. And there were people of all the tribes of Israel present in the nation. And it's a marvel to me when people try to tell me that all the tribes were all lost and then they try to say that the white people, the Northern Europeans, are the lost tribes. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And more, furthermore, in Christ, what does it even matter? The truth is, if you look in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, you'll find people from certain tribes, Reuben, Asher, other tribes, and then people not listed, potentially. But all there had to be was one couple from any tribe. One couple from any tribe. And we're talking people who had lived in this land for 400 years since their captivity. Do you realize that from the time of Jacob and his sons going down to Egypt was less time? Meaning, the 12 tribes sprang from the 12 patriarchs who went down to Egypt with Joseph and Jacob. And they came out of that land, a multitude of people, a mighty nation, in less than 400 years. So, it's no great thing if, 500 years after the captivity, all 12 tribes are present. When Jesus tells them to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he means the Jews. They are the lost sheep of Israel. Those who were cast off and lost among the heathen, they're lost. And maybe, God knows who they are. I can hear you saying it. How do you think you know, though? He says he will cause their name, their remembrance, to cease from among mortals. Who are you that you think you can trace these things? And the thing is, no historical accounts or there's any agreement at all. Those nations that people point to as being, this descent, that descent, it's extremely questionable. And the thing is, wherever they went, they didn't carry with them the faith of God. They were pagan. And so they were no different than the heathen. And so don't, puff out your chest to me how you think you're an Anglo-Saxon Israelite. I just don't find anything impressive about it at all. It seems to me to be, if not a fairy tale, a useless and utterly worthless doctrine.